everyone, and welcome to the show Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. We are live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. So please do check out all of those venues. We have almost 200 shows, and they're on there for quite a while, so you have a chance to just glance through a lot of the old shows and listen to what might seem interesting to you. It could be a few minutes, or you could listen for the whole hour. And please do post some comments for us. We'd love to hear your feedback, and thank you so much for checking those other shows out. Today we're going to be talking about children and evolution. You know, we have spoken so many times on this show that the world is changing rapidly, and I think everybody wants to say, oh, things are getting great, they're getting better. Don't you see this? You know, if you have a heart problem, hey, we'll just pop another one in there. You know, if you have a problem with your joints, hey, just put another one in there. It doesn't matter. We've so replaced all of our parts. When we really think about it, what are we really replacing but our outer shell, that which appears or seems to cause us distress? And it's really not our soul or our spirit, which is really us. We've also said on this show many times that our outer body is really just like a skeleton to hang clothes on so that others can recognize us in this world we're in right now. Our spirit and our being, inner being, is really just where we're all about. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Children, you know, I have four of my own. They're in their late 20s, early 30s. It was a definite challenge. I've worked with a lot of clients with children. Those have been challenges too. And I think more of the times people would come to me and they would say, it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they would say, you know, my child this, my child that. And so many times we'd even have people come in and they would drop their big plastic containers, you know, the ones that hold Christmas ornaments, and it'd be full of stacks of medical testing and information. And it'd be like, okay, so what's going on here? And they would say, oh, here's where my daughter's at. Here she is. You see her? She won't come to the rest of the appointments, but I want you to fix her. We want her to be fixed. And it's like, well, what do you really mean by that? We want our daughter or our son to fit all parameters of called of normal. You know that little box that we create when we have a child? It's got a name on it, and it has to pop up like a jack-in-the-box and look the same, act the same, do everything the same as the next one, almost like a mechanical kind of coming off of a conveyor belt. Everything has to be the same, or else we don't know what to do with it. And then we're at a frenzy trying to fix what might not look right, might not act right, might not seem right to us, because it's something we can't accept, is that things are out of the ordinary. Things are different. They are unique. I think really what we've really done is we've really abolished the idea and not even paid attention to it that we are unique, every single one. There should not be two of us that are the same. So if we're thinking about that concept and we're all unique, isn't that a wonderful world? Not really, everybody says, in society and social media. Everybody needs to look the same, act the same, to be able to fit into this society and into our peer groups and that which of what we believe. So my guest today is Dr. Meg Luzzi. I'm sorry if I pronounced your name, Dr. Meg.
Luzzi.
Her book is The Children of Now, Evolution, How We Can Support the Fast-Forward Evolution of Our Children and All of Humanity. You know, I think if we just start kicking labels to the curb, as we've said on many times on these shows, is you just got to start kicking them to the curb. You know, look at somebody for who they are, what they are presenting, and just that's where you need to go. And the cover of her book is exquisite. I mean, it's one blue-eyed child that you see, and it's almost like this eye is just piercing into you. And that's what you need to say is what's really looking into your heart and soul. You know, I've cleaned dental hygienist for over 40 years. You know how many people's eyes I've looked directly into within that, you know, foot and a half? Believe me, hundreds of thousands. And you can see vacancy, you can see energy, you can see golden flecks. Sometimes you see just this big black hole, and sometimes you see absolutely nothing. And you know that there's somebody in there, there's something in there. It's just what we're looking to discover. So, Dr. Meg, thank you for joining us today. I think we can go so many different ways with this topic, but your book is absolutely wonderful talking about children.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. I really appreciate doing these shows because we have such a beautiful thing happening in our world, and it has some problems, and I call this not a new book, but a wake-up call. It's really important that we understand what's happening in the world. And, you know, when I first wrote about these kids back in the mid-2000s and the children of now, I wrote about what I thought was a very awesome phenomenon with kids that had certain special traits and abilities and that kind of thing. And as I started traveling and speaking about this, really, literally, all over the world, I began to realize that this was a much bigger picture than I had conceived of. And I stood back and looked at the bigger picture. And the things that all came together became this book. But it was shocking, and it was exciting, it was terrifying, and it was so joyful all at the same time because of the potential that we have for our world in these children.
Mm-hmm. And I think, as I've said, you know, it's really all about realizing the uniqueness and letting go of all that other perfection and jack-in-the-box, you know, conveyor belt idea, you know. Not everybody is going to be that.
Exactly. And, you know, when I wrote the first book, actually it's, I have 9 books, but that the first about the children, I used terms to communicate. I did never meant to label kids, and it kind of got out of hand. And so I want to say that everything that we talk about today is not meant to be a label, just how does your child fit in this, because there are different sections of kids with very different abilities and issues. So it's not about what am I, including the adults. It's more about what can I do with this, and stop seeing it as broken, and rather as something beautiful that's unfolding.
We look at children today, and we are so shocked when they don't speak. We are shocked when they don't sit in their chairs. And even so, when they don't seem to want to give us a hug or seem to have all the affection that everybody else does. And we get all up in arms because we feel that we're defective, and that's not at all. I think those are really the challenges of the children right now, is that they are presenting us with these challenges. I mean, if a child does not speak, what a gift that you can learn how to speak with that child in other terms. So that really grows the parent and the people around them. But it also grows the child, too, in that they're able to say, you know, okay, this isn't, you know, how can I still be present here? It's not like, if we remember decades and decades ago, people with these unique issues were just shunned and they were put to the side, and that's not at all what's happening now. I think they just now, all of a sudden, are coming in such overwhelming waves that we can't deny that this is what the world is going to.
And you know what? I think that's the most important point that you and I can make in this time, and that is don't ever look away. We were taught that.
And
we were taught that different is bad. And I have to say that now different is not disabled, it's differently abled. And some of my earliest experience with these amazing kids were ones that spoke to me from bodies that had no physical functioning basically at all. They couldn't speak. And I hurt them. And I thought I was losing my mind. I really did.
Right.
And then I said, okay, if you guys are real, I'm shortening this story a lot, but I said, if you guys are real, start showing up. You know, let me meet you in person so I can validate what's going on and I'll write about it. And sure enough, over the next several months, I met the 4 earliest ones that started speaking to me that way. And all of them had different functioning, each one very different. And they were absolutely beautiful, other than their bodies didn't work well. And the other piece that I learned from that is how isolated their families felt, their parents, their caregivers, because they didn't know anybody else was going through this. And, you know, almost all of those kids had been born normal, and something put them in the dirt. And I'd love to talk about that in a little bit. But don't look away from anyone. They may look different. They may scare you a little even, or a lot, but inside is the greatest love there is, and it emanates from them.
You know, I can remember so many times we have spoken several times with other guests that if we look back on the decades, I'm almost 60 now, so if I look back at the 70s when I used to do a ton of volunteer work all the time with many of these, we will call them homes that most of the children were put into, I would go and, you know, do stuff on Saturdays or Sundays, and then in the summer we'd take them to camp and all these other things. And if we look back at those same children right now, we would probably not even recognize that they were something that needed to be, as we would say, put into a home. In other words, our acceptance or our more knowledge about things has evolved to where we are now accepting some of this. In other words, you know, children with Down syndrome. It's like, why do they need to be in a home, you know?
Right.
Whereas now,
right,
they're in their own homes, and it's just so different. And
isn't that
I think
awesome?
That, yeah, but it's even, but I think back on that, and then even now, you know, children with autism, you know, they were there in the homes too, and these special homes, and now they're in their homes. So it takes a while, but man, you know, the casualties that happen along the way when humanity and, you know, people are it's a real tough thing to swallow. So I think mm-hmm. right now your book is great because it says, you know, wake up, because we don't want to repeat what humanity did before. We don't want to be putting these children to the side, and we don't want to say that we're the bigger, badder, you know, best society, and we've got it all down, and here's the book, you know, read that. And then the answer is there is no book. You know, it's really about uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's very true. And, you know, our technology has outgrown our psychology. And mm-hmm. we live in a right now, real world, real time, where we're getting so much information so fast. The kids in this generation, the ones that I wrote about, are far more intelligent than our generation was. You know, we can look back even to the 50s. And we can say how simple everything was and how idealistic
right.
it was. And how we had to walk a rigid road of expectations that were given to us because that's what was passed down. Now, these children think compartmentally. Their minds don't work the same. Our minds have evolved, and I'm including many adults in this, but particularly
yeah.
the children because they're born this way, with compartmentalizing in the brain rather than a bunch of linear stuff that is so simplified. And they also feel and live in the world with their entire being. They're sentient. They don't just use their five senses. They use their entirety. So they know how people feel, and they know what's going on, and they know who's stressed and who's happy and who just, you know, who's having a hard time that day or whatever. The problem is they don't know how to distinguish that all of it isn't theirs, and they don't know that they have the opportunity to not take responsibility for that. So we're seeing a lot of kids really crushed with a heavy burden of responsibility for feelings that they're just feeling that aren't theirs. And I kind of liken it to witnessing a conversation across the room and hearing it. And it's between two other people, and we just happen to notice because we're there. And if we can realize that we're just witnessing, but that conversation had nothing to do with us, and we're not responsible for it, we can teach kids, you know, with that analogy, how to separate their feelings and how to acknowledge what is theirs and how to just let what isn't just roll on by, because they don't know and it hurts them and they start bouncing around a lot. And the other reason, there's two reasons, but more reasons they're bouncing around, because they're absorbing so much so fast energetically. They're very sensitive, and that movement helps shake off the buildup and helps them stay like they feel safe and calm. And I forgot what I was going to say, but the way they absorb information is that they do it with their entire body. Beingness, their energy system is reading everything that's going on. Thoughts are energy, emotions are energy, consciousness is pure energy and faster than light, and they're able to access all of these wonderful parts of themselves naturally and easily, but they're being drugged for it, and they're being punished for it, and they're being ostracized for being who they are. And that's why I'm part of why I say this book is a wake-up call. You know, we're evolving. We're evolving, and we need to look at that because our social mores and norms need to be, updated and changed. And it's we who are running the world that need to make those changes so that the children get what they need. There's such a big picture here.
Well, I think so, too, though. We as adults have all evolved right now, too, and there's such a... you can go from 0 to 100, and anybody could be on any part of that path. And mm-hmm. with the adults being on that path, it's kind of hard to be able to relate to the kids. I know for myself, you know, I could drive down the street and we stop at the gas station within 5 seconds, not even five, probably two. We pull up to the gas, and I turn to my right, and there's a woman sitting there crying in the car. And, of course, why do I see these things, you know? Why do I know these, or why does it come to my attention, you know, mm-hmm. just because I feel or absorb or I'm in that space too. When other people, you know, could go down that same street and they're like, they don't see anything other than, you know, the guy that cut them off at the corner at the red light. So mm-hmm. the same thing with children. If we are as adults are so much on this realm of awakening ladder, it's kind of hard too, because it's almost like the kids and us are both gelling at the same time. Do you know what I mean? We're not quite gelled. So it's really, and we're in this transition mode, and I call it, we're more like amoebas. We're not quite like that cellular structure yet, you know? We haven't quite yeah. firmed up the next step. We're kind of in this transition mode, and I think that's really, I would say for probably about the last 2 to 3 years and probably going forward 4 or 5, we might still be in this gelling motion.
Well, I call us the bridge generation. We're the ones that had feelings and knowings that first often were squashed or put down by our caregivers, our families as not real, or we mm-hmm. were laughed at, or we were embarrassed by it. And it's not like that now. But, I mean, it is in a lot of circles. But we're the ones that started exploring our nature, starting exploring who we are. What is this that's happening? I know there's more. And a lot of us were very brave about it and stepped out of our little boxes, as you called it, and into what might be possible that we were not yet aware of. And when we did, those awarenesses opened up and we began to use them. And it's because of that, kudos to all of us, it's because of that that these beautiful children are coming into our world so fully sensitive and so aware that they remember their past lives, many of them. They remember being on the other side. Some of them will say that they remember choosing their parents even, and they remember who they were in other lifetimes, and they know things that they couldn't possibly know, you know, from their short lives in our world. And they're able to bring into our world a sense of our origin, a sense of sacred, a sense of the infinite, you know, and they can tap into that. And they're very heart-centered, particularly the crystalline kids. And I'm going to use these terms just for communication and no other
right.
reason. The crystalline kids are real socially oriented. They're very healing and loving oriented. And they're all about social fairness. And they act. By the time they're 10 or 11, They're little leaders. They just walk into a room and they take it over. And they do things that make a difference. Food drives, bringing awareness and contributions to different scientific studies, protestation of homelessness in their village. I mean, I have story after story after story. And they, I can't wait until they're of age to be running the world and the governments. And then we have Star kids, and I only call them that because they're different and their interests are different and some of their memories are different. And they're all about the planet. They can feel the planet. They know where the planet's healthy, where it's not. And they're also really into the animals, all of different kinds, and science and technology. So we really have a perfect setup here of these two particular sets of kids. It's the largest two sets that I've ever observed, and them coming of age in not too many years, you know, the next 10, 15 mm-hmm. years, and beginning to have the authority and the acknowledgement to act on behalf of our worlds, our societies, our countries, our cities, the potential for what they can achieve that we don't know how to do because our minds are too busy. Theirs aren't. Theirs work far more efficiently. And their awareness of what needs to be done is so crystal clear that I am so excited that we have such a potential for an amazing world, not in the too distant future.
And I think so, too. When you see all of the elders right now that are in government, it'll be time that they'll be passing. And mm-hmm. that is a time where they will be able to just step into those positions. You know, so many times we go to meetings or we go to conferences or committees or whatever it could be. And they will sit down and they'll say, well, this is what we're going to do and how many people do we need to get it done and how many people to write it up and blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, really? Just stand up and just do it. What is the point of all this, you know? And I guess
yes,
maybe it's me. I just don't get it. I just don't understand all this. It's like it doesn't take 300 people to be able to get one thing done at the cost of unbelievable amounts. Just turn it on and just do it, you know?
Yeah, and that's how the crystalline
that.
Kids are. Yeah, the crystalline kids are exactly like that, get her done, as we say out in the Pacific Northwest, get her done.
Yeah. And
you
it's,
know,
it's
and
like,
don't look back.
Right. And
yeah.
sometimes if you do it and it fails, say, oh, really cool, that's fabulous. And now I know that there's a spot that I have a little intake into where I can now expand it into something differently. Everybody thinks that, you know, failure or change or hitting a wall or a block or a boulder is such like life-changing event. It's going to crush you. And it's like, I just think of them, I don't even think of it as aha. I always say it's a yahoo. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's cool. It means I tried it. I saw it. And I had an action in the world. So that action is just showing me a reaction, and it may or may not be what I chose, but it's still something else to keep going forward. And these kids love that. You know, they'll poke their fingers, excuse me, poke their fingers into this, that, or the other, or the constant asking why. My husband tells me all the time, if you ask me why one more time, you know, and it's like, I just do it. And we all do that, you know, but isn't that the great part of being human?
Absolutely. And, you know, we never make mistakes. We have experiences based on our choices. And so when it's time to make a different choice, we can recognize that, or we can kick and scream and stay in a direction that's going to totally go to pieces. So, you know, that's what these kids are really good at, because they understand what right now really means and being really present now, because nothing ever happens outside of now, ever, ever.
Right.
You know, what was has been, and what is not yet is either imagined or speculated. And so the power of staying present allows for so many more observations and revelations that we would have otherwise walked right by and missed the turn. So these kids are dead on. I mean, they really get that direction, and they are so firm on that path, whatever it is, that there's going to be no stopping them. I just love watching these kids.
But we have to also recognize the fact, too, is that these kids have parents and family members and grandparents, and mm-hmm. many of them have taken casualties along the way because they just can't adjust. You know, we as adults may not be able to adjust to these kids, and we just are just stuck ourselves. So some people, will, you know, as adults will be able to evolve with the children, and that'll be wonderful, but we just don't say that everybody will. So, but it is something to be aware of, to say that you might be getting challenged. Say, oh, this isn't my kid being a brat. You mean he laid down and kicked and screamed in the store, you know, that wasn't being a brat? No, it wasn't. He was just trying to say something, or maybe he was acting out, or maybe there was too much energy, whatever that might be, and recognize that instead of being a problem with the parent or a problem with whatever.
Yeah, I do not blame the adults at all. I'm just trying to educate them, you know, because because really, here's the deal. We cannot consider anything until we know it's possible. And the reason that a lot of adults are not doing well with this phenomenon is because mm-hmm. they have no awareness of it. And right. all they can look at is, my kid is broken, it reflects on me, and how sad is that? When in fact, there are a lot of really great resources and a lot of families with situations just like that. And what in this case, we're talking about mostly some of the kids that are, you know, have different abilities and different types of being, like the autism thing. Do you know that according to the CDC, 1 out of 50 children is being dosed as autistic?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying, you know. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we have such a spectrum is based on the individual frequencies of each child. You know, as you said earlier, we're all beautifully individual in creation. And that is created from harmonics that have organized that are come together to make us who we are. Well, the children's are so different. They're so much higher frequency. I can see all this stuff. I'm really weird. And what I see, but my motto is weird is wonderful, just for the record.
Absolutely. I'm weird too. That's okay.
What I see is that they are so high frequency that they're extremely, you know, exponentially more sensitive than we are. And so then you have a baby, and by the way, I think vaccines are great, but there's a part of that whole thing that isn't. And that's mm-hmm. the carriers that have been in them for so many years. One of them
right.
is mercury, for example. Mercury has been studied as used for a fuel for interstellar travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's conductive, okay? And there are other chemicals, dimerosal and some other really deadly things were we to eat them. And so you have a really fine frequency child. And you put something like mercury into their system in the name of a vaccination. That mercury travels to all through the body. And what happens, it expands the energy field. It's like it's running a charge. And the subtle energy field of that child gets pushed outward in a regular or irregular way so that the consciousness is not fully present in the body. How far that goes depends on the harmonics of the child, which is why we see such a wide spectrum. And I'm actually, in my Touching the Light certification program, I'm teaching physicians about this so that they can begin to consider and even apply some of these subtle energy things that can make a difference and help build a bridge to that child back to this world. It's a really, really sad thing. And when that happens, then they run into digestive and autoimmune problems, and it just kind of cascades from there. So it's a definite phenomenon that is, and there are a lot of toxins in our environment. There's a lot of mercury in fish. There are a lot of industrial chemicals out there getting into our waters and our lands and our food chain, and those are causing our bodies to evolve differently. And as are the GMOs. You know, I realized when I stood back and took an eagle-eye vision of this whole thing over the years and all the questions that I had been asked, I realized that it's all relative. It isn't just about, like I thought when I wrote the first book, what a cool thing is going on. It's about what a massive evolution humanity is going for and going through. And our bodies are evolving as well, and so is our DNA.
Well, I think also, too, when we say 1 in 50 is the number now, you have mm-hmm. to really realize potentially it's going to be all of them. And what is that saying? Is that saying that all kids have autism? I think we need to stop saying the word autism and just
no
say
kidding.
That all children are just there. That's it. And then that number will fall away. So then your child is just your child, and that's it. So many times parents would bring their kids to me, and they would say, don't you see it? Don't you see it? And I'm like, I just don't see it. I just don't know what to say, but I don't see what you're telling me. And oh, he's doing it now. Don't you see? And it's like, no, I just don't. And I guess maybe that's a problem for me, but I just didn't see it, you know. And if we look at it, I really think that what the children are showing us is that we have junked up the life of you know, our DNA because it's come through from generations. And now the children, by being rebelling, their body rebelling these things, is saying, okay, now all you need to do is de-junk it. So if we took those three things and said, you know, it's going to be all children, kick autism, kick all labels to the ground because that's a waste of time. Second, recognize that they're getting junked up, figure out how to de-junk them, and then maybe we'll be in that next paradigm. And that'll be the one where we'll really evolve with change.
Yeah, and it really requires awareness on the part of parents and caregivers of every kind and educators as well to get a handle on this. You know, there are phone numbers you can call to see what's in your vaccines. You just get the batch number from your doctor's office and call the number, and you can check if they're safe or not. That's a simple thing to do. Knowing whether or not foods have been genetically modified is a big deal, because what we put in the kids is breaking down differently in their metabolism, and the wrong things are plugging into the wrong cell receptors. And so we're getting, for instance, one type that breaks down plugs the receptors in the thyroid cells. So the thyroid is getting misinformation, and it's giving different instructions to the body. Others are plugging into the receptors that are involved with the autoimmune system. And the autoimmune system is kicking up in the form of allergies of all kinds, in the form of asthma and other things. And those are just a couple examples. One other one that's really important is tissue inflammation. Tissue inflammation is caused from things that are genetically modified that are put into the body that actually are not absorbed in the normal way and actually serve as an irritant in all of our tissues. And so we see a lot of children that are very swollen, overweight, and that doesn't go very well with their self-esteem, when in fact, you know, we think we're feeding them well, but there is so much ignorance about that subject. And I really didn't know about it at all when I started researching, and I knew a few things, but nothing major. And when I started realizing the depth of what's happening and what we're being fed in the name of nutrition, just is terrifying. So it comes down to diligence. Read the labels. And what's really sad is most of them are not labeled yet. But a lot, what I look for is non-GMO, non-gluten. And if they say that specifically, and you don't always have a way to track where it came from and all of that, but at least it's a place to start. There are a lot of good products, really good products, and they're not only in the health food stores. But using those instead of the one next to them on the shelf that's got so much junk in it, it makes a difference. I started changing my whole diet after researching for this book, and I look amazingly different just because of my awareness. And if we can do that for our children, their bodies will run more efficiently, and that makes them more productive in their hearts and their souls and their minds and what they're able to do with those awarenesses. So it's a big picture with a lot of subjects, but when you look at it as an overview and then look at the parts of the whole, it can be done comfortably. I was a little worried when I started the book if I knew enough to talk about what I wanted to say, and I did a lot of research, and which is something I don't normally do. I normally just write from my experiences, and these were such important topics that I spent, I don't even know how many hours and days and weeks and months reading all about these things, and it was such a wake-up call to me. I really needed to had a drive to get this out on behalf of the kids. I've been advocating for them for a really long time, and the parents that are doing that, they're not weird, they're not holding on too tightly, they're being aware and they're considering that that child's body needs a different kind of healthfulness, and so they do that. And we often, you know, I've seen people even in the grocery store laughing and thinking, well, you know, there goes another granola, and no, it's not like that. I don't mean that. What I mean is there's so much that it can affect us. And corn, for instance, it's almost impossible to get non-genetically modified corn anymore, or soybeans. you have to really look for those kind of things. Or if you grow your own garden, make sure you order heritage seeds, meaning non-GMO, original strain, no mutations. We did that for the first time this year, and it was amazing how different everything looked and smelled and tasted, because it was the real thing. And, I mean, it's just crazy. And I'm not that kind of a person. I'm busy, you know, I'm very busy. And it doesn't take that much work to do it differently and smarter, you know, smarter and healthier. So I hope that the information I provided, I did provide, by the way, both sides of both of those subjects. And I hope that the reader will use their own discernment on it. I have some pretty strong opinions, and I tried to keep them out of the book. But the information is there, and there it cites a lot of studies, and it encapsulates the information from those studies, so you can read it at a glance, particularly regarding the vaccines and seizure activity following vaccines, other physical dysfunction that occurs after the vaccines when a child has been born normal. Two big target ages that I noticed in the research were 3 months and 18 months were when the damage seemed to be occurring the most, because the stuff builds up. You know, they get a series of a lot of stuff. And so when they get to that 18th month point, that's when we start to see some real change in some of these kids. But many of them are having it earlier because of those toxic things that are, we've been giving them. I mean as a whole, as a society, as a world. And so we have the power because they're ours. Nobody else bore them. Nobody else conceived them. They're ours. And we have the right and the power to stand up for them and say, no, that school lunch is not okay. This is what my child requires. No, that vaccine is not okay. But if there is something that is safe, I might very well consider using it to keep my child in the world safe. You know, simple things like that, speaking up and not feeling like you're being bullied by the different auspices, so to speak, really makes a lot of difference.
It also depends on where you live in the country, too. I will say that because here in the Deep South, those changes are not applicable to most people. If they're doing it, they're very limited and it's very much on a small amount. But if you live in places like Oregon, Washington State, Arizona, California, they're really up on it. New York State, New Hampshire, you know, the northern ones. But if you go anywhere to have anything to eat here, you'd better believe you are not getting at all what you need. I know myself.
Believe me, I know that.
I know. I just don't even go out to eat anymore because it's just such a hassle to me to sit there and say, I'm just not going to eat this stuff, you know. I had gone to a relative's house. It was about, I guess maybe 3 weeks ago, and they had hamburgers on the grill. So to me, here's my frame of reference. I don't know what that hamburger is. You're putting it on a grill, and I know that there's chemicals in that lighter fluid that you just squirted all over the hamburgers, right? Then you put it on a white bread bun, well, white bread, and there's this cheese that you peel the plastic off of. They're still using iceberg lettuce, and that's it. And you're going, oh, my gosh, is there anything I could eat here? And they're like, well, we can make you a salad out of the toppings. And I'm going, oh, no, thank you. I haven't eaten iceberg lettuce ever. And, you know, and I'm just so not interested in the cheese that peels off the plastic. So it is really hard for us as adults, just as well as it is for kids, you know. And
it is. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so many times, you know, parents will come to me and they're like, where do I start? And it's like, please do not take this whole thing on. You've got a lifetime to do it. I will say, just don't go down the juice aisle for the next 6 months. And, you know, and they'll say, oh, my kids are screaming. And, well, don't bring them to the store with you, you know, and just don't go down the juice aisle. You know, and eventually if the kids are screaming, you say, oh, my gosh, I didn't need anything in that aisle, so I'm sorry I forgot. Eventually they forget about it. You know, birthday parties do not have to have a cake. I haven't had a birthday cake for my kids or our family for decades, you know. They're like, no way, Jose, you know, get me something else. I don't need a birthday cake. And it's really about what the parent and their habits and their beliefs have put on the children, and that's going to be the biggest change in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And it comes with awareness and
and
learning that these are not totally weird things we're talking about, although it sounds like it at times. This
right.
is a normal part of human evolution. And the part that we need to keep up with is everything that we've been talking about, and to make sure that our children stay personalized and really truly understand the value of another human being, because they're being desensitized. You know, texting, social networks, internet, video games that are so real you can't even tell they're not. There's so many ways that information is coming at our kids when we cannot help it. We can help the video games. You know, we could limit the internet or not let them use it, but it is a really good tool. We all use it. But what's happening is I saw a funny scene, and wow, it was a huge comment on social nature, on Modern Family. I know a lot of people watch that, and there was a scene where Phil, the dad, went and answered the door, and it was his oldest daughter's boyfriend, Daryl, and Daryl was standing there texting, and he says, "Oh, I'll go get my daughter." And he says, "No worry, I already texted her." And so those interactions that we need to remember the meaning of our humanity are getting less and less, and that's desensitizing a lot of these kids, which then creates a whole different set of dynamics. And so we need to really work with them on communicating outside of themselves and out from behind the technology.
Yeah, and how difficult that is for a lot of families. But I think it'll work, you know, absolutely. And so can you tell what – we're coming to the end of the show. What do you foresee? I mean, we can't all, you know, say we have those answers, but I, as I said in the beginning of the show, I just see it as all these labels going away, and you know, medical community is just all of a sudden going to topple. They just can't hold it up anymore. So I really foresee that. What do you foresee in life for these children?
I do foresee over time that things will open up for them. It's the meantime that I'm concerned about, which is why I call the children of now evolution a wake up call. What I foresee is, we're getting to a point where there's too much going on. We need answers. We're looking for them, and I think we're just about there. So it's about raising awareness so that these kids can be who they are in the world, and they're going to do some amazing, positive, wonderful things for future generations if we give them what they need.
Absolutely, and it's going to be a shake, rattle, and roll, I think, and a lot of people will just say, you know, I'm done, I'm out of here, and, you know, that might be where the world is making a lot of changes also. You know, people are just, they can't uphold or they can't see it, so they're just going to have to step to the side, and, you know, that is what you do, is you step to the side, and the children of the world eventually do take it on as they grow older, so that's exactly what we are saying, that is the right way to do it. It's just maybe not what it's been done in the past.
Exactly. But we need to remember the value of life and the value of the experience of having that human experience. And when it becomes all technically oriented, technologically oriented, that scares me for the future of how we treat each other. So we really need to talk. We need to talk to our kids. We need to get them to express themselves and not judge them for it, and not ostracize them or punish them for having these thoughts. They are massively aware, and they speak like little adults at times. And in the old way, that would be considered disrespectful. In the new way, it's saying, hey, pay attention. Something's wrong here.
And
if we can take that kind of perspective, I'll call it a perspective of curiosity. What is this kid really saying? I want to know.
Yeah.
And when we do that, then we're more in touch with them as well. And they trust us. And they know what they can and don't want to trust, because they learn that from us. They learn by our example, by what we teach them. And we teach them more by example than anything. So when we as adults get our act together and get real self-aware, then we're giving the kids exactly what they know that they need. And that is a humongous contribution to the future of our planet and the current evolution that's happening.
Absolutely. Can you share a little bit briefly about Angels on Earth? I really found that one section was really important in your book.
Yeah, it's not like a major commonality, but I have met a number of children and a few adults that actually know with all their heart they have wings, but other people can't see them. And they seem so lost. Like,
yes.
They feel like they have this massive job. I knew one little fella, young guy, he was like 18 or so, 20 maybe when I talked to him years ago, who was walking across the planet barefoot and trying to take his sacredness as far and wide as he could. And he was starving and he was desperate. And that's when I got him.
Yeah.
So I had a little chat with the fella, you know. But I had another one who was just so sure. And I could actually see that it was true. She had a set of, like, powder blue wings, and she wanted the world to see them so badly that she had these huge wings tattooed on her back, almost the identical color. And these particular beings are very, very aware, but not able to always understand what it is they're feeling. And so they get real down on themselves because they see across all realities. Quite often, these particular kids, and they see all kinds of realities, and they don't know what's okay and what's not okay, and they don't seem to have a lot of direction, but yet they have such a deep sense of what's perfect. So they need a little help and guidance. If anyone happens to run into one of those kinds of people, it's for real. It's a very real phenomenon, and they just need to know to take care of themselves first. Or else whatever they have to give will be diminished as they burn out. And their candles can be so bright.
It's so interesting that you say that because I've been told that by so many people. And it just comes out of my mouth. I will go to get my blood pressure done, you know, and I'll say, oh, my gosh, you're just crushing my wings. You know, when they put it on that machine and they look at you like, you're three sheets to the wind, you know, or they'll ask you what drugs you're taking. And I've had this happen probably, I would say, for decades. You know, it always does. I will always get comments like that.
Well, they're always there. They don't go away.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I even laugh because I say I have the Polish upper arms, you know. When you put your arm up, they just swing like nobody's business, but it looks just in the shape of wings. It just hangs down like that, you know. And it wasn't like, you know, you're supposed to exercise and it goes away. It's just they just appeared and that was it. One day you said, oh, my gosh, they're getting so heavy. Or sometimes I would say, oh, my back is just so heavy. I'm just carrying too much today. And people will look at you and they're like, yeah, what are you talking about? You know, but we just keep going on and on, and I think that's so vitally important. And also what you said before is why I started teaching, like, about compassion. We have a women's group that will be launching in January. And it'll be, you know, have compassion for another person. And they're like, well, what does that mean? Are you going to sit there and listen to me complain? And it's like, you know, hey, I'm more than happy to lend my ear to listen to you, whatever you have to say. Because the more times you say your story and get tired of listening to yourself, then we can figure out where we're going to go from there. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, and I think that's where we've shortchanged a lot of people, is that we aren't listening and, as you've said, been aware or paying attention. You know, you've got to open up your eyes. You have got to listen. You've got to see things. And if they look out of the norm, they were meant for you to pay attention. Why do I see women crying in the car all the time? Going down the street another time, you know, a lady with a face mask on sitting at the corner waiting for traffic to go by. Oh, she must be going to chemo, you know, or, you know, any of these things, and they just jump up there, and it's to pay attention to those things and always just recognize them. They're not looking for you to change them. They're just looking for you to notice and be aware of that.
Yeah, we never know how much we touch someone's life with a simple smile.
Right.
I everything that we do matters. Everything that we intend and every act we make and word we say and thought we have matters, and it causes a reaction. And we've got to really be intentional about what we're putting out, because we're going to get back everything. And it will have escalated by the time we get it back. You know, I like to call it thinking of it as an investment in my future. Is that the kind of future I want, or do I want something else? Do that instead. And when we start getting more intentional about our acts and our words and everything that we do in our world, we begin to have a wholly different experience, because mm-hmm. we're choosing thoughtfully. You know, we're making choices that we know we have the power and the ability and the value to make. And when we make different choices, things change. So it takes a lot of courage to get up to that point, and sometimes we get knocked in the dirt so we know we're there. But the point is,
yeah.
it's all about knowing that we have free will. That's part of the deal. And that free will, all that means is saying yes or no, or doing what your heart says, even if it's in opposition of everyone around you. It doesn't have to be a fight. It's not a mean thing. It's just that it is what it is. So letting the kids know that as well is just a
right.
terrific thing for them to have that inner freedom that early.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would always say to people, I speak in silence, I need not yell to be heard. And I think that's so vitally important for people to understand, is that you don't need to yell and scream about this, that, or the other that's going on or whatever. Just sit down mm-hmm. in peace and feel it and sense it, just like the kids do. You don't need to always be yelling and screaming and have labels and Yahoo and rallies and all this other stuff. Just change it. Just do it. Just be done with it. You know, move to the next spot. You know, mm-hmm. you don't always mm-hmm. have to, you know, jump up and down and all that other stuff. It'll be okay.
Well, it's just about not being afraid. We're taught yeah. to be afraid. There's no reason to be. And so I say, embody your courage and be the true you, and you can't make a mistake. All you need to do is make new choices as they come along. And, you know, it's that easy. And if we create awareness like we're doing today, talk to our friends, mm-hmm. talk to our families, talk to the world, as you and I have chosen to do, we can let people know that there are other possibilities. And when we do that, things change. You know, there's a great story. I wrote about it in one of my other books. I can't remember which one. But it's a true story passed down in oral tradition about a shaman who was at the waterside looking out into the ocean, and he saw a set of ships. And he called to the villagers, and they came running, and he said, see this. And they couldn't see anything. They right. had no awareness. Therefore, they had no possibility of even noticing. And then when he explained to them what he was seeing, their awareness opened, and they were able to see the ships. The Spaniards right. were invading. True story.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like that. Until we know something's possible, how can we do it? So we need to be open and really look at things that whiz by us, because, wow, there went a possibility, there went another one. And mm-hmm. and creation is always showing us what we can do, what we can have. All we need to do is pay attention.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Meg, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Could you share some information with the listeners about your website, your book, and some events on your website?
Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette. It's been a pleasure. My main website is spiritlight.com. That's spiritlite.com. And I can be reached by Dr. Meg, DRMEG, at spiritlight.com, spelled the same way. And I'm on all the social media, mostly as Doc Spirit, easily found. And the new book is called The Children of Now Evolution, and it's in all of your favorite bookstores. I have a second website that's called touchingthelight.org. That's all one word, touchingthelight.org. And it's about the year-long certification program that I teach that's able to do so much to help the kids and everyone else as well. Those are big sites, lots of great free stuff on there. And check my schedule page, because I do journeys all over the planet that are very deep and very real, and immersing us in cultures and traditions of people everywhere and learning the deeper wisdom that the ancient people held for us. So it's a great thing, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And to all of you who are listening now and even later in the archives, thank you so much for spending this hour with me.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. And if you have any events coming up, you're always welcome to come back on the radio.
Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Jeanette. Appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Meg, her book is The Children of Now Evolution, How We Can Support the Fast Forward Evolution of Our Children and All of Humanity. The information is on the bottom of today's show page. There also is a link directly to her website. Please check that out. And really, please, we are stressing, Dr. Meg and I both are stressing, please pay attention with a little bit more of openness, without a lot of labels, and without a lot of judgment and all of these things that we try to say, you know, I don't get it, but, you know, I'm still going to stick to my old ways. World is evolving very fast. It's time to just say, you know, throw up your hands and say, hey, I'm on board. You know, what's next? And isn't it going to be a great ride? So thank you so much for joining us today on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and it is a great having you with us. For more information, please do check out today's show page, and also you can check my dashboard and they'll be able to find out some more information directly there to email me with your questions or your feedback. Thank you.